give us focus during this prayer time, this sermon. Bring our mind right here to what you're doing, what you're saying, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to kick off our 21 days of prayer with a message about it today before we jump back into Matthew. But I want to kick us off with prayer and understanding some of the importance of prayer and why we need to do it and what it's about. But I want to show you this little video clip that gives a reason of why it's so important that we pray and that we're equipped and prepared. So I'll give a disclaimer. I am not in the insurance business. I do not work for State Farm. I'm getting no royalties from showing this clip, but it's one of the State Farm commercials. So I'm just giving a disclaimer. I cannot sell you insurance. We'll probably get our YouTube channel flagged for showing something we don't have license to show, but it's short. We might get away with it. So anyways, I want you to watch this clip, and then I'll tell you how it pertains to prayer.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of this guard. But getting that guard.
Where do we even get this guy?
Kevin Barnes, the Franklin Elementary.
Okay, stop! Stop! Guys, actually, it's a city ordinance.
Kevin, come on, get ready. I need you to block 5-0.
You think I have a shot to make the team?
No.
Respect the best. Respect the best.
So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Okay, I know it's ridiculous, but that's just, I just caught me when we're thinking about living the life for the Lord, there is a spiritual battle going on. And if you're not prepared and you're not geared up and you're not entering it, it's like that commercial. It's like, I'm going to go out to play football with a stop sign, right? You're going to get crushed. You're going to get killed. I love that. It's a city ordinance. You have to stop, right? Like, get out of the way. It's ridiculous. But if we're not going to be entering into the spiritual battle with spiritual armor on, we're going to get mowed over. We're going to be beaten up. You're going to be attacked, right? I'm not talking about black eyes and bloody lips. I'm talking about you're going to be spiritually weakened, defeated, powerless, afraid, stuck in fear, stuck in anxiety, stuck in guilt. We need spiritual armor. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to go. And so prayer is a big part of that, and having the spiritual armor of God is a big part of that. So I'm going to preach today through Ephesians 6:10 through 18, which is a passage in which Paul talks about the spiritual warfare and the spiritual armor we need so that we're not going to battle without gear on, right? So we're not going on the football field without helmets and pads. We're not worried about football right now, though that was a good game yesterday. But we're not here to talk about football, but that was a really good game yesterday. But anyway, we're talking about spiritual armor. We don't want to get mowed over. We don't want to be beaten down spiritually, not being armored up. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times." Here's where prayer comes in. "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." There you go. That's what Marty was telling us. Keep alert. Keep alert. Keep focused. Okay, here's three things from that we're going to see today. We need to wake up, gear up, and pray. Wake up, gear up, and pray. First, we need to wake up to the reality that we are in a spiritual battle. The scripture is very clear on that. And the worldview of the Bible is the worldview. We live in the Western world. We're long educated in the Enlightenment thinking where it removes the spiritual realm. We live in a world that there's this world, and for many people in our day, that's all there is, just this world. It's a closed system. Everything has a natural cause. There's nothing outside of it. But that is not the truth, and it's not the truth explained in the Bible, that we live in a world that's not a closed system. It is a world that has a spiritual realm that we cannot see, but that very much interacts with us in the physical realm. But it's easy to think, I don't know, devils and demons and warfare and that. Is that really reality? Yes, that is the reality. And if we're not aware of it, it's going to be like stepping on that field without any of the right gear on. If you don't even know you're in a battle, you're going to get knocked down really fast, right? You're not even going to be facing the right direction. So we need to wake up to the reality that we are in a spiritual battle. First thing he says, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. We need to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might because we are in a spiritual battle. Right? If it's just a walk in the park, you're just going to take a stroll with the Lord. Well, then how strong do you need to be? You know, I can get to the other end of the park, no problem. Right? But if there's an actual battle, we need to be strong in the Lord. And I love that it says the strength of his might. This isn't about you gearing up and, all right, here we go, and I'm going to do some spiritual push-ups and memorize 8 verses. This is, I'm going to pull on what God has for me, the strength of his might. So I want to show you at the same time here, I made a little graphic to show verses 11 and 13 of this passage kind of say very similar things, and they sandwich verse 12. So I'm going to try to do that visually for you to see that 11 and 13 repeat sandwiching 12. So let me show you it as it goes along. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Not part of it, all of it, the whole armor of God. So first it says you need to do it. You need to get all of it. It says that there actually is armor for the battle. There is gear that we need. Right? Some of you love that are kind of gear people, gear guys. You're at Cabela's all the time, right? This is spiritual gear. You don't have to go to Cabela's. You can, but you don't have to. The whole armor of God. So he's sandwiching it. Whole armor of God, whole armor of God. Next line, that you may be able to stand. Verse 13, that you may be able to withstand. Right? You see how he's saying the same thing. Put on the armor, says you can stand. There's this imagery that the spiritual enemy is going to come against you. And how does he want us to be? Like this? No. Over here? Right? No. Like this? A lot of people, this is how we are. Head down, beaten down, defeated, discouraged, living in fear. Paul says, I want the armor on because I want you like this, ready to go. Let's go. Let's take it head on, chest up, facing forward. Let's step into this. Not with your strength, with his strength. We don't want to be hiding, cowering, lowering our head. And then he says, to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then verse 13, to withstand in the evil day. So those vary a little, but they're the same thing. Against the schemes of the devil. What are schemes? What are schemes? You've been in on a scheme? I bet you have. I bet you have. If you've ever traveled somewhere, especially to somewhere like Hawaii, these people will come up to you, free luau. Free luau today. Free dinner. Anybody starting to know what I'm talking about? Free luau. We'll give you free luau. You just have to come into this room inside of another room, and then for the next 3 hours, we're going to beat you down until you sign up for a timeshare. Anybody been in that cage? Right? Don't take the free luau, okay? I'm just telling you. Don't take the bait. They will use every tool. They will guilt you. Right now, there's actually, I heard this on the radio, one of the senators from Utah is trying to introduce a bill to actually bring regulations to the timeshare people. If you're a timeshare person in this room, you're not going to like this moment, but they play dirty. It's legalized fraud. They will guilt you. They will shame you. Don't get in that room. I'm just telling you right now. You can buy your own Kahlua pig. Talk to Vance. He'll make you some Kahlua pig. Don't go for the free luau, okay? Don't do it. They're going to trick you. It's a scheme. It's a scam. What kind of parent are you? Don't you want memories for your family? You got to sign up. It's a scheme. It's a scam. That's what the enemy's doing to you. He's not trying to sign you up for a timeshare. He's trying to make you doubt who you are in Christ, bring up the past, throw lies in your face, bring up things, throw shame at you. That's his tactic. It's a scheme. It's a trap. So both these verses say you need armor so that you can stand the schemes of the devil or in the evil day. So it's both sides of what? Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The battle isn't your jerk neighbor or your jerk boss or that other political party or what. That's not the real struggle. Those people certainly could be difficult. But the real battle you're in, he says, it's not flesh and blood. It's not another person. It's not other people, right? It's against, it describes all these things, rulers, authorities, cosmic powers. It's against forces in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, we're told here, there are different levels and there are different rulers. Now, these are all created by God. You can read that in Colossians 1. It says, through him he created all things, whether thrones or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So all spiritual beings, angels, cherubim, all the things we read in the Bible were created by God. Some of them rebelled. Some of them went bad. Some of them fell. And so they're still spiritual beings. They're still in the heavenly places. They still have various levels of authority and so on. And they're hostile to God and his people. They're a defeated enemy, but they're an enemy nonetheless. They are made by God, so they're not God. They're not overpowering God. They tried to usurp God's throne. They were cast out. But they're still operating in the spiritual realm, and they can influence us in the physical realm. That's who we're battling. That is the spiritual enemy. So we need to wake up to that reality. All right? We want to wake up to the reality. C.S. Lewis talks about that in his book of I just lost the name. The one where it's like the demons plotting against you. The Screwtape Letters, thank you. He says there's two deceptions they want you to do. They want you to not think they're there at all, and then you don't even know somebody's shooting at you. And they also, the other deception is to make you think about it all the time, right? Just because someone took your parking spot at Costco doesn't mean Satan's right there, okay? Just someone saw it first, someone is faster than you. That doesn't mean the Satan's after you. What happens in your mind could be, if you let all the air out of the tires, okay, now we've entered the spiritual battle, right? So it's not that we want to overfocus on it, and it's not that we want to think it's not there. We need to have a healthy reality of the spiritual battle, right? Look at some of these other passages. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's saying there is someone looking to get you. Resist him, firm in your faith, right? That we have an opportunity. Resist. We don't have to give in. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So there is, it's not like you're going to get mowed over, but we do got to resist, all right? So what is he doing? His weapons are lies, deception, and slander, right? You're not going to walk in your house and he's going to like blow you up, right? We're not talking about that. It's spiritual warfare. It's things going on in the realm we can't see for our mind. So look what he says. When he says here, put on the whole armor of God that you'd be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, that word means the slanderer. The slanderer. That's what it actually means. He's the accuser. So it could be, even this morning, you're here, you're a follower of Jesus, communion's coming, and he's going, yeah, you shouldn't take that. You know what you did. You know how bad you are? You put that down. That's the slanderer. He's right in your ear, right? He's telling you, he's bringing up something. Because what do we have to do? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have a little prayer moment, and you take that, and you say, I'm remembering the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. But he's the slanderer, so he wants to accuse you. Remember who you are. You shouldn't be taking it. You shouldn't be here. They are, but not you. He's an accuser, a slanderer. He's going to speak slander lies to you. When this is what Jesus says about him. He says, you are of your father, the devil. He's in kind of an argument with some religious leaders. He says, you're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It says his own character, it's like his native language, right? Some people speak English, some people speak Spanish, some people speak Russian. Satan speaks lie. That's his language. It's a lie. Everything is a twist and a lie. He uses it, lies, deception, and slander. And this is where we're going. And here what he does, he can implant thoughts in your mind, right? He can't overcome you. He can't control your body, but he can suggest things and suggest them in first person. I'm so terrible. You know, and you're going, where'd that thought come from? I'm so bad. I'm so dirty. I've done too much. So you think it's your thought, but is it true? Not if the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But he can plant a first person thought in your mind, but you don't have to think it. Right? The lies only have power over them if you believe them. If you don't believe them, they don't have power over you. Here's one that a lot of times happens from people from childhood. They will look back on a terrible childhood experience. Let's say it was parents divorcing. And you can, as a child, have that happen. And into your adult life, you can have the lie told to you and believe it that it was your fault. You were not a good kid. If you had cleaned your room better and minded better and done better grades, your parents would still be married. And so you carry that lie with you into adulthood. It was my fault. And it impacts your self-worth. It impacts your future relationships. But is it true? No. Right? It probably had nothing to do with that. It was their own conflict, their own problems. But if you believe the lie that it was your fault, then you live like it's true and it disables you. Right? If you were a subject of abuse and you believed the lie, well, I probably deserved it. That lie has power over you. But when you believe the truth, that was a wrongful act and that God loves you and you're valuable and no one deserves to be abused, that begins to shape who you are. So he uses the lie. He wants you to believe you're dirty, that it's your fault, that you're bad, that you're the only one. They're lies, but they have power if you believe them. But if you don't believe them and you cling to the truth, the power drains away. So we want to wake up to the reality that we are in a spiritual battle, and it's a battle for your mind, for the truth, for believing who you are. He wants you to believe that you are broken, failure, never get better, always be addicted, always whatever. All the lie. If you believe the lie, then you're bound by it. But if you believe the truth, you're free. Because Jesus said you will know the truth and the truth will make you free, right? The truth makes you free. Satan doesn't operate in the truth. He wants you bound, defeated, discouraged, fearful. So that's the reality. We are in a spiritual battle. It's a battle that can't overpower you in Christ. He's a defeated enemy. But there are all the spiritual forces of evil all around us seeking to distract. Even right now, they're seeking. That's why I appreciate you doing that, Marty. Even right now, they can be distracting you. Don't listen to him. You can just say, you know, be gone in Jesus' name. I want to hear this. So we need to gear up. Okay, how do we withstand the attacks? So I went back to my silly illustrations here. We're going to have men and women, boys and girls here putting on the armor of God. There's something we can do to handle spiritual warfare. That's what he told us. Put on the armor of God, right? Stand, therefore, not cower, stand, having fastened on the belt of truth. First thing on is the truth. We've got to put on the truth, the reality. I'll tell you how this one works for me. A lot of the attack comes from me. I begin to worry about things that haven't happened yet. Well, what about this? And what if there's not enough of that? And then, well, then that'll have to happen, and we'll have to quit doing this other thing. And so all of a sudden, I'm weeks, months down the road, and something in my head that isn't real. It's an imaginary scenario that I don't know. It's not the truth. So I have to put on the belt of truth and say, the truth is, none of that's happened yet. The truth is, I don't have that information yet. The truth is, that's not a reality yet. So don't waste any time on it, right? We need to stay in the truth. There's also, that's where the spirit attacks who you are. You're just a failure. No, the truth is, I am a loved child of God with rights. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm a new creature in Christ. When the attack comes about your identity, you start putting the truth on. Who am I in Christ? So that's the first one. Put on the truth. The next one, he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. That thing's covering all your vital organs, heart, spleen, kidneys, liver, all that stuff in their lungs, right? You start losing those, you're not alive very long, right? You need all those vital organs, right? We can live without some limbs. You can live without some tonsils, but you need these vital organs, right? You're not going to live without your heart, right? You're not going to live very long without your liver. So this, the righteousness protects us right here. It's not your righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness. He covers us, all our vital organs. We're washed and cleansed. We have the righteousness of Christ. We are righteous saints who still sometimes sin. Satan wants to twist it around. You're a dirty sinner. You're a failure. You don't add up. No. In Christ, I'm a righteous saint. I am covered by the righteousness of Christ. All my organs are covered. My vitality is covered. Yeah, I have sin, but I confess it, and we move on. Right? That's not who I am. So that's the righteousness. The righteousness of Christ covers you. Okay, the next one, it says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I couldn't make the picture line up very well. And they wore sandals. It's really like strapping on your sandals, right? Lacing them up. That's really what it's saying. It's to lace them on. I've tied them on. I've put something on my feet. My feet are ready by the gospel of peace. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5 that we have been reconciled to God. Therefore, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we've been reconciled. We're put back in right relationship with God. And we have a ministry. He says we're ambassadors as though God was making his appeal through us. So we got our feet ready to go. Wherever I go, I'm taking the gospel because I am a minister of reconciliation. I'm telling people, you can be reconciled to God. Everywhere you go, my feet are ready to go. Shoes on, I'm strapped up, geared up. Everywhere we go, you can be reconciled to God. I've been reconciled to God. He's making an appeal through me to you. Be reconciled to God. So we're ready to go. Then he says, take up, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. We need a defensive weapon to block that shield, because he's coming at you. It's going to fail. It's not going to work. You might. What if you don't get the job? What if you get cancer? What if they leave? What if they never talk to me again? And this fear, and this fear, and this fear, and we just take up the shield of faith. Just like we heard last Sunday from Phil, Jesus is coming through those stormy water. Jesus is Lord of the wind and the waves, right? The Lord Jesus is with me. Who can stop me, right? The Lord Jesus is in the boat with me. This is who he says I am. I'm trusting that he will never leave me nor forsake me. He said all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And he's the one saying I won't leave you. So the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, we just take up that shield and I'm going to trust everything he says. I'm not going to listen to the doubts. Then he says, put on the helmet of salvation. the brain bucket, right? Put it on your head. This is where the battle is. It's for your mind, right? The battle is for your mind. Paul tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? We need to have minds focused on Christ. He tells us to take every thought captive to obedience in Christ. That's putting on that helmet. I am saved. And sometimes, don't you get crazy thoughts? I mean, I get crazy thoughts sometimes. Like, what if I pulled that knife out right now? Yeah. And you're like, what? Where'd that come from? I'm like, no, get at him. That's the evil one. I don't want that thought. I wouldn't think that thought. What if I pushed him off? It's weird. It's weird thoughts you get. What if I just rammed that guy? It's just spiritual. You just, nope. I'm going to take that thought obedient to Christ. That lust obedient. No, I'm Jesus. I'm his child. I'm saved. Take those thoughts captive to him. You just say, right here, Lord, that thought came to me. I'm giving it to you. I'm saved. We need the helmet on. I'm saved. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm saved. And then he finally says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You're like, finally, some offensive weapons here. Right? I want something. This is what we get to strike back. So far, everything is to defend and deflect the blows. But the sword of the Spirit is actually, we get an offensive weapon. We can strike with the truth. Okay, I got some middle schoolers in the room. I read them a verse this morning, Jeremiah 23:29. God says, is not my word like, middle schoolers, like fire and like Elijah, you remember? There's fire and a hammer, yes. God says, is not my word like fire and like the hammer that smashes the rock? It's God's word, not your word. God's word is fire and a hammer. And he breaks up lies and he breaks up hard hearts and he burns through impurities. It's the word of God that fights back. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did he do? He quoted scripture out loud. You notice that? He didn't think it. He actually said it. A lot of times we think it. You know, this is the cool thing about spiritual warfare. The enemy is not God. The enemy is not omniscient, meaning they don't know everything. The enemy is not omnipresent, meaning they're not everywhere at once like God can be. And the enemy can't read your mind, nor can they hear your thoughts. God can read your mind, and God can hear your thoughts, and God can hear all the silent prayers we pray. The enemy can't. He can't. So you could be praying in your mind. You could be thinking a verse in your mind. But as soon as you say it out loud, you've just pulled the sword of the Spirit. And they hear it, and they have to respond, right? They have to respond. You're a liar, Satan. Get out of here, right? He says, resist. No, I'm a child of God. The word, the fire, the hammer's just been unleashed out loud, and they can hear it. They can't hear your brain. They can hear your words. They can hear God's word. And you can hear it too, which is also important. Say it out loud. If you're feeling spiritual attack, if you're feeling doubt, you pull out a scripture, right? Doubting your salvation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. Don't throw that old in my face, Satan. It's gone. You just pulled out the sword. They heard it. You heard it. That enemy has to move on. That's what we're talking about here, gearing up. Paul's saying, I don't want you to cower with negative thoughts, with guilt, and with shame, and with fear. He says, I want you to put on the armor of God. I want you to put it on and enter in, to be in the truth, to be in righteousness, to have your feet ready to go. Your shield is up. The salvation's on your head. The word of God's ready to go. And then he says, and pray all the time. Pray all the time, right? So we need to stand up or wake up, gear up, and pray. He says it's praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. We just have like a running dialogue in your head, right? That's what I think Marty was getting at this morning, right? Stuff's going on all over your head. I got to do this next week, and oh, what about that? And I forgot to text them, and it's just, I heard one guy talk about, you got to stay in front of your eyes, What does that mean? If you're in front of your eyes, you're focused on what's going on out here. When you go behind your eyes, you're focused on a billion other things, right? So stay in front of your eyes. What's going on right now? But then, what's going on behind your eyes, I would make that prayer. Instead of, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. Lord, I'm praying about this. I'm praying about that. All the time. You're driving along, you're praying. The worry comes up, you're praying. Pray it out loud if you need to. Praying at all times. So not just in the morning, not just in meals, not just before bed. All the time we're praying in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. With all prayer and supplication. The supplication means urgent requests. I really need this. This is really hot. This is really coming down. So he says it twice. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications, the same word, making urgent requests. So you're praying for you, you're praying for urgent things in your life, and you're praying for urgent things for all the saints. It's urgent. And he says, praying in the Spirit. Now that's in this book that you can take home today. He's got several things in here on what he's got, I think, four things in here on what does it mean to pray in the Spirit. So I'll let him walk that through with you. But the one I like a lot here is this understanding in Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Don't you love that? You're praying, we think we know, like, but I don't even know. So the Spirit helps. You can say, Lord, I'm praying for this, but you, Holy Spirit, you know. It says the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He can understand the deep longing of your heart. And he can intercede. It says, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So here you are praying, but the Holy Spirit's right there searching your heart, hearing your groans, hearing your cry, hearing, you might even not be praying the right way, but he's like, I'm right here interceding. I'm hearing this. And then he's taking it with groans, some kind of spiritual communication. I don't know what it is. With groans to the throne. He's like, well, Ryan's praying this, but here's what he really needs to happen. Right? You're praying this, but here's what's really going on. And it says, he who searches the hearts, God searches our heart. He says he knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows the communication. So it's not just you praying. What a dynamic picture. You're praying, but the Holy Spirit's going inside of you to the Father, back to you. Wow. That's beautiful. So we're praying in the Spirit at all times. Pray all the time. Pray all the time. So there it is. We wake up, we gear up, and we pray. I want you to be awake to the reality that we're in a spiritual battle. It's a battle for your mind, right? I'm not talking about being possessed in these crazy horror movies. I'm just talking about Satan lying to you, deceiving you, keeping you in bondage, in fear, in sin. We need to wake up that it's lies, that we can enter the spiritual battle. We don't have to keep going down that road. This is some of the tools Freedom Session would give you if you want to go further into that. And we need to pray for the strength of God. So here's what I want to do. I want to give us a chance to do it. He said there to pray for one another, right? Urgent prayer for one another. So here's a couple things we can do right now. We've done this last several years as we write prayer requests on sticky notes. There's sticky notes on that table, and the back tables. You can just get up, get a sticky note, write a prayer request. You can leave names off if you want. If you want a name on there, great. You know, as long as you're not like praying against someone. This guy I'm sitting next to needs a mint, right? We're not putting that on the wall. But what is urgent? Put it on the wall. Write a sticky note. Stick it on the wall. Stick it on the beams. And then if you're up, you can come up and pray. I like to put my finger on them and pray for that thing. Pray for that thing. The other thing you can do is just grab the people right next to you. If you're a bold kind of a person, and I encourage you to be, just say, hey, let's pray right now for this. Let's pray right now. Let's just pray right now. So we can start praying in groups, praying with the sticky notes. Maybe Pastor Mark's going to come just play music for a few minutes. We got a few minutes just to start getting those urgent requests on a sticky note on the wall. Pray in groups, pray together. Let's do this. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've given us spiritual tools, armor. Help us to put them on, Lord. Help us to put truth on right now. Help us to have our shields up, trusting in your word. Lord, I'm asking for these next 21 days that we would have deeper prayer, closer prayer. People would connect with you. People would see you move in power in their lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.